Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
Yay! I written in the stone.
Oh yeah, we definitely call it hump day on the Sports Shop. And you should be humping or whatever you, I mean, that's your business. How about this? How about waking up? How about getting up?
I'm just telling like a T.I. is, man. I mean, you know. I know you got kids in the car. But anyway.
Have you been humping?
That's how they got here. Come on, somebody. Let's get it together. But <Bruh. laughs> what did I say wrong?
Nothing. I can't tell you you're wrong. I can't.
I'm just saying. But you know what? I'll tell you one thing I'm not wrong about. All three ACC area teams were in action. Actually, all four Division One teams were in action. We went 3-1 last night. Duke, Carolina, NC State won. North Carolina Central had Iowa on the ropes. University of Iowa. Yeah, that's right. And had a chance to win it out. We played well. Didn't get it done. But all the teams played well last night. We started State. At one point, I was getting a little concerned. Central Connecticut. Where is that? I have no idea. Somebody tweet me. Let me know where that is. I'm not even Google it. It must be somewhere near Hartford. I'm just making this up. I have no idea where it's Central.
Central. It's probably somewhere in the middle part of the state.
Boy, you know what? I'm trying to tell you, that education that you got is phenomenal.
That research department, hard at work.
I mean, I'm talking about that's what we do. But my state pulled that one out, and I tell you, I don't know. I was getting a little concerned about NC State. Then, of course, with the backdrop of what happened, the breaking news yesterday about the DWI arrest and Aiden Embedded and all that going on. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Duke showed up against Gardner-Webb and kind of beat the brace off of him. I mean, it was kind of sad.
That was a nice early season scrimmage again.
I mean, it was, yeah. You call it a scrimmage? Yeah. Yeah, 92 to 52, that's 40 points. Six players were in double figures for the Blue Devils. I still got my man crush on Baccaro. He had 10 and 8. Wendell Moore had 14 and 5. But Kills is the one that's killing, though. Kills is like, he had 4 3-pointers like the first half. I'm thinking, yeah. Like, plus he's a man's man. You know.
That dude's built like a linebacker. I think it was Adam Gold I heard say he's built like an outside linebacker.
No, he is. He should have 52 on his back. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Remind me of Jack Ham or Andy Russell or the guys. I'm trying to get you pulled in.
Oh,
now.
You, Jack Lambert, Jack Ham.
There you go. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, still a nation. Yeah. Hey, the guys had 18-7. Mark Williams, big time center, had 13-6. So, I mean, as DC just said, it was like a scrimmage. Again, just like I mentioned earlier, NC State 79, Central Connecticut 65. Okay, now let's get you the game that I was paying a little more attention to. Matter of fact, I'm rocking. If you watch us on WILSportsFan.com, you notice I have a certain color jacket on, and I was going to say that I wear this jacket every time the Tar Heels win if we are on the next day. But I don't want to do that because I may be coming in with other color jackets on if I do that. So I'm not going to do that. But I tell you.
I mean, you look great in red.
Yes, I do. But I look great in anything. Thank you, Dennis. But this game was of interest to me and a lot of people because this was Hubert Davis' first away game, hostile environment, Tar Heels, hostile environment. And like a lot of players, we're thinking Caleb Love and R.J. Davis, you know, these guys are sophomores. But, hey. They never played in an environment like this. Nobody did last year, right? So this was the first time they had, I'm talking about, it was 5,000 students, I mean, 5,000 people, and it felt, it sounded like it was like 20,000. They was on top of each other. And let me tell you, college in Charleston, they came out there like they was on, I don't know, Usain Bolt juice or something. They was running
Bolt juice
like 1,000 miles an hour. Like, what the hell is wrong with it? They was running crazy. I mentioned yesterday that I attended the practice on Monday, and they was practicing the fact that they pushing the ball up. But I was talking to Coach last night, Coach Ford. I was like, he said, you know, you remember they practiced that? I said, they practiced, but they didn't practice that. Because of Charleston, man, it was helter skelter. It was out of control. I have never seen anything like that going up and down like that in a long, long time. And I think it kind of shook Carolina. They were like, what the? They threw the ball away like some simple inbound passes like five, six times in a row, like not being aggressive going to the basketball. I hate that. Man, go to the basketball like you played before. How many out-of-bound passes did College and Charleston stole? But at the end of the day, though, I will give them credit. Coach Davis and his staff, they went to a larger lineup, and it threw Charleston totally off that game. Amanda Baycott was crazy. He was had 24 and 12. He kept him in the game the first half. Kata Love had 22 and 7, 6 assists. Who's playing like a lot of people think. C.L. Brown said he thinks he's going to be the best player, one of the best players in the conference this year. And, of course, Brady Manick, I think he added like 17. But first, let's hear from Coach Hubert Davis on winning the tough road game.
Well, I love it now that we won. If we lost, I would have said this is a terrible idea. You know, everybody keeps telling me this is, you know, this is going to make us better. All I know is for this environment, our guys have not been in an environment like this in at least two years. One of the questions that they were asking me before the game is our guys going to be ready? Do they know what to expect? And I told them, honestly, no. They haven't been in this environment. And so to see them respond and on the road in a packed house and against a really, really great basketball team and to be able to step up in the second half and be able to score, this builds a lot of confidence for us moving forward. It really does. I mean, if you can be successful in this type of environment against this type of team, you can be successful anywhere.
I have to be honest with you. I'm a homer. I self-admitted homer, but I'm telling you, man, that environment was crazy. I can't remember coach name for College of Charleston. I'll get it in a minute, but he won't be there alone. I mean, he seems like he has that whatever that it factor. It kind of reminds me of Shaka Smart back in the day, how he had those guys running around crazy. I'm talking about, I mean, seriously though, I was nervous. I wasn't even in the game. So I can imagine how the players were. It was like they were just running around like they was like 3 or 4 seconds faster than the Carolina guys, or quicker to the ball or rebounds. They had one guy from Australia shooting from Durham. I mean, everything he was throwing up was going in. It was crazy, man. I'm like, okay, we gotta do something about this.
It is good for them to face something like that early in the season, though, because it's like, oh, okay, you kind of get that shock factor early. Now you know how to handle it as the season goes along.
And given the fact they hadn't had it in 2 years. So it's like some of those guys haven't had that since high school.
Yeah.
Like RJ Davis, you know, the freshmen, the sophomores, and Kato Love and those guys. I'm like, man. And, of course, that's where the ACC is going to be. And it doesn't hurt or help. Maybe it does help. The fact they got to play. Their schedule is crazy. They got to play like they got to play Purdue and potentially Villanova. They got to play UCLA. And they got to play Michigan. Yeah. And all this, like, before January.
Yeah.
I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I'm like. So, we'll know how true and tested the Tar Heels will be coming around New Year's Day. I mentioned something happened yesterday, and, of course, if you haven't heard, you must be on the rock. A situation unfortunately happened Sunday night, I guess. I guess it was Sunday night. Maybe Saturday. Saturday night, Sunday morning, where a couple of Duke players were cited for DWI, driving while impaired, of course. The other one was Aiden Benning. Michael Severino, who happens to be Coach K's grandson, was driving a car that was stopped. They said they didn't yield a stop sign, something like that.
Yeah, didn't yield a stop sign.
That's what happened. So they got pulled over and apparently got cited for driving a DWI, and of course. Paolo Banchero, who will be one of the top picks, if not the top pick in the draft coming up, was on the passenger side, and of course, he got cited for aiding and abetting. I'm gonna bring Gregor R. Williams gonna come on later this hour, kind of give us a snapshot of what all that means and the legal aspects of it, and how that falls out. So we're here for that. But 2 days after that happened, as I mentioned, Banchero started for Duke. And played and dropped 10 points. and has several rebounds. But let's hear from Coach K, because the question came up after the game yesterday about, you know, obviously about the DWI and comparing the situations, and probably why Paulo was able to play. Let's take a listen.
It's two different situations. I mean, two entirely different situations. Headlines might make it look like it's the same. It's not. So I think the decisions we made are in conjunction with our authorities, you know, my superiors, and we're taking action. You know, we took action, and we will continue to take action. Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but I still don't understand what he meant. I mean, I heard that earlier. I was trying. Well, I don't understand what he's saying.
Well, I think here's how I'm viewing it, okay, is the sense that Banchero is in the backseat of the car. So when Gregor R. Williams talked about this, but in North Carolina, if you are in a passenger in a vehicle of someone who is driving while intoxicated, you are cited for aiding and abetting someone to drive while intoxicated. So that's where the citation for Banchero comes in.
Got it.
So that's the reason why there are two different situations, because one was behind the wheel, one was in the backseat.
I'm curious, did his grandson suit up?
Nope, wasn't even there. I don't think he was even there.
There it is, okay.
So that's why the situation's different.
Got it.
My assumption is, here's how a lot of college athletic, I wasn't sure how it was when you were in school.
Right.
But I know a lot of college athletic programs have a rule of, like, they call it a 48-hour rule, where you can't consume alcohol within 48 hours of, like, a game.
Gotcha.
So that's the thing. Or some have a 24-48-hour rule in season. So can't drink within 24 hours of a practice, no alcohol within 48 hours of a game, because you are guaranteed mandatory one day off by the NCAA. That is a rule. So my guess is they had Sunday off, they went and had fun Saturday night,
right,
and this was something that happened from it. So they didn't break a team rule in regards to that. That's probably why Banchero was on the floor.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's my assumption. That's pretty standard all levels.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Again, from the legal perspective, I'm glad you brought the fact that Gregor R. Williams would tell us, kind of give us the legal aspect, but you probably 100% right. They also asked Coach K on his players being charged, and this was, he had to say quickly, a quick soundbite on that.
You know, Alabama, Oregon,
we had a violation of our standards, and we'll handle that internally. You know, we've already handling it, but violation of our standards, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and the thing is, from when I first heard, I said, you have to be charged. You have to go to court to be charged with something, right? So, I don't know.
Hey, it's just a citation.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's like a misdemeanor or anything like that.
Right.
It's just a citation.
Right. So we'll follow that, and that was breaking news. Everybody heard about that one. And the fact that it was Coach K's grandson, probably, and the number one player in the country, that's what made it so juicy. We're going to talk more about it. But it was interesting, though. But it did not affect Paulo's performance. We're going to follow that as we continue to find what's going on. But it was interesting. So it was good basketball last night. I loved it. I was going back and forth. I was in heaven because I could watch all the games. Then you got to search.
To God Almighty.
I think NC State was on Were they on that ACCNX last night?
No, I don't think so. I'm not sure where they were on last night, to be honest with you. I didn't get a chance to watch that game. It's just a random 8 o'clock. Okay. Maybe like an internal, like a closed circuit feed. This might be a closed circuit television.
You know how you go to the box back in the day when Sugar Ray was fighting?
Yeah.
And Marvin Hack, and you go to closed circuit TV at the auditorium.
Yeah, exactly. It's a closed circuit.
That's funny. I actually paid. I think I went to one at Duke one time when Marvin Hack I think it was Sugar Ray. That last debacle. But yeah, it was interesting. Wow, interesting. But I'll tell you one thing, though. Regardless of what game you watched last night, it's always, you know, a few things that you need to do, particularly when you're going from one channel to another channel to another channel trying to find the games. You first got to have your Pepsi Zero Sugar and your Mountain Dew Zero Sugar, and you got to rock and roll with the Fisher's Paradise Sports Shop, which is Under Armour. Keep you right and keep you tight, even on hump day.
get it right, get it tight. Get it right, get it right, get it tight. Get it right, get it right, get it tight. Get it right, get it right, get it tight.
Call the Park, Bubba Sparks, Yin Yang Twins.
Put it down.
Okay. Was that Vesta?
No, that was Pam.
That was Pam.
That was Pam.
Oh, boy. She's going to get me on that one.
Oh, no. She's going to get me on that one. Because I'm the one that saved that soundbite.
Oh, okay.
I'm the one that saved the soundbite, okay. Which is totally fine.
She's going to
totally
get you. She's going to get you on that one.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
You can tune in all the time. We appreciate you. But a lot of people tune in this particular time because they know that we rock with our main man, James White, because there's always more to the story. Brother White, good morning. How you doing?
DC, you all did not warn me about the challenge of doing sports talk radio.
Uh-oh.
And one of the challenges is everything you say is recorded and now can be referred back to. So we have to go back. Yes, we can't stop talking about the recent hero, quote unquote, possible savior, the Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton. But now, K-Mac. Remember when he was released from the New England Patriots, people lost their mind. Mm-hmm. K-Mac said, again, that there was a mutual agreement that Cam wanted to be let go. K-Mac, you even mentioned that he knows that he played better than Mac Jones.
Oh, yeah.
And that Mac Jones outplayed Cam Newton, is what you said, Reese.
Yep.
And we were hard on Cam. And then I said these words. When you create a space, someone else can take your place. And Cam Newton, I even said that New England released you to your destiny. Well, evidently, Carolina Panthers was his destiny.
Wow.
And Cam Newton is walking back into a space that he created. Cam was right. He said, you cannot control my feces when you're at the top of your game. So I was wrong. I have to admit, Cam created a space at Carolina, and he's back in that space. But now here's what's interesting. The way we talk about Cam Newton, I think we miss the real model of leadership. In Cam Newton's rookie season, even owner Jerry Richardson on the Charlie Rose show said he asked Cam, did he have any tattoos? And Cam told him that he didn't. He said, let's keep it that way. Cam got his first tattoo in 2019 before he was released from the Panthers. You see, Cam Newton is a model of leadership. It's unfortunate that owners think that they can control the black body. And Cam Newton says, you can't control my body. You can't control my style. We even sort of critique his fashion exuberance. And we say he brings the energy. Well, he's brought the energy to every team. He has incredible energy. But why is it we just say that about Cam Newton? But whenever we talk about Tom Brady, we never stress his energy. We say he possesses elite communication skills. He's knowledgeable of the game. He's able to read a defense. Cam Newton has the record for 71 rushing touchdowns, a record followed by 43 by Steve Young. Maybe Cam Newton really knows how to read the defense. I would suggest when you describe Cam Newton, there's one word, leadership. We call it bringing the energy, but a more important technical term is Cam Newton has IEQ. That's right, emotional intelligence. When you watch Cam Newton, he is self-aware, humility, emotional intelligence, self-regulation, discipline, emotional intelligence, motivation, oh my goodness, emotional intelligence. And Cam Newton has empathy like nobody can believe. And talk about social skills. He understands the importance of leadership even on the sidelines. When you watch Cam Newton, he is always at work. That's right. Cam Newton is a model for us all of high EQ, emotional intelligence. Running back Christian McCaffrey says, Cam Newton brings the energy like no one else has ever known. Yes, Cam brings the energy, but it's because of his holistic approach to leadership. And may the history books mark that about Cam Newton. So, Cam, may you continue to create a space and then show others and model for us all how to keep your place. Because there is always more to the story.
Well, you know what, Brother White, I have to admit, though, I mean, the energy, the enthusiasm that he brings to the team, that team looked totally different on Sunday. And now I got to pay attention to him. I mean, I can't wait to see what happens against K-Mass our team on Sunday. I mean, it's Cam is a different. He's an interesting guy, that's going to be his. When people write the story on Cam, they say he's just.
That's right.
He's going to be just. He's an interesting guy that you can't. It's kind of hard to figure out, but you really can figure him out. And he's very, very humble. A lot of people don't realize how humble he is. K-Mac and I remember he was playing for the Panthers initially. We talked to him. He's just a really nice guy, and you kind of gravitate towards him. You want to be around him. And he's that dude. He got that Michael Jackson kind of, that star power too. He walks in the room. So I'm so happy to see him back, James, playing with them.
On this hump day, those of us who are listening, who are working in environments, working with teams for the corporate environments, no matter where it is, we better learn from Cam Newton. His EQ is incredible. And let me correct one thing. Washington is not just K-Mac's team. Washington is my team,
too.
Oh,
whatever. Okay.
Brother James.
You know, and so, Brother James, I apologize early on. I'm going to do this on hump day. I apologize for raining on Cam's return home. I think you called it homecoming earlier, D.C. And I apologize for messing up his homecoming. So we're going to rain on this parade this day.
Oh, okay.
So on Sunday, we raining on this parade.
That's right.
Hey, Jay, thank you so much, my friend. I love James White, man. Seriously.
So, it's interesting he says that.
Yep.
Because people are trying to figure out why.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't this. I said, no, Cam's the same person.
Yep.
That he was when he left. And everybody's trying to figure out, well, you know, I said, you know why? Because Cam is just as authentic as he was when he left him. Whether you liked it or not. He came back the same person as he left.
Yeah.
So now you can't help but say, you know what? He does have true intentions, and when he wants to play football, he can play football.
And when he's healthy,
by the way.
And people look at him totally different, but he's still the same guy. You know what I'm saying?
Same guy.
It's amazing how
he's still
people.
Still the same guy. And it's because you have a team of young players that are quite honestly – have looked up to Cam Newton their entire lives.
You got some guys, because how long Cam been in the league?
12.
How long, DC, 12. How long Cam been in the league?
Is it 12? I think it's 12.
It was 2011 was his first year.
Yeah, so you got some guys, man, that was 10.
That's right.
Robbie and all those guys? Robbie. They was wearing
like
Cam,
high school,
right.
middle school. Yeah.
They was wearing Cam Newton jerseys.
Exactly.
And can you imagine wearing jerseys all of a sudden?
And you playing with Cam.
You in the huddle with him now.
And you playing with Cam.
You playing with Cam. That's
so that's
incredible, man.
That's the reality of where we are. Yep. And that's why they had that extra step, because it is a different thing going into battle with a guy that you know can get it done. Versus a guy that sees damn ghosts.
I was going to say. I mean, it's a bit different.
I mean, listen. I mean, it is what it is, bro. When the guy that sees ghosts, let's say, charge! You go,
No, bro. I can't stay on that hill with you, bro.
Nah, bro.
You're going to be on that hill by yourself. Because
you're afraid you're going to look around and he won't be there.
Right. Exactly.
But you're going to look around, Cam going to be there.
Right, man.
And you both meet Luke, but Cam going to be with you.
He's going to be with you. That's one thing I would say.
You know
he's going to be with you, man. So shout out, I mean, great segment, more to the story. We're going to repost that when you'll get a chance to see it out on Twitter and other places, man. But, you know, I can't wait till that game. I can't wait till the game, man.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
We had to go find out, kind of, as James White said, more to the story. We had to look beneath and see what's going on from a legal perspective. And we got our main man always calling in to update us what's going on. We got Gregory R. Williams. GRW Law Firm. Greg, what's morning? Good morning. How you doing? Oh, yeah, we got to get this. I'm sorry, he does have intro music. My bad.
Got lawyers watching lawyers, so I won't go broke. Now check it.
You want to waste my time? Okay. I call my lawyer. He's such a good lawyer that by tomorrow morning, you're going to be working in Alaska.
GRW, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good morning, Sports Shop. How you doing today?
Good, man. What's going on with you?
Man, all is well in the world. You know, Cam is back. Superman's back in the building.
By the way, did you know that he's
got light work coming through this Sunday? You know, so.
So I'm going to say this.
He said light work coming through the Sunday.
So I'm going to say this, and I don't want you to take this personal. I don't want you to take what's about to happen on you Sunday personal. You know what I mean? I mean, we still family. You know, I mean, look. Homecoming, it is what it is. But you know, we're gonna have to give you this work though. We're gonna give you this business.
Oh, wow.
So just take it and move on.
And, no, to Greg. Greg was out in California, man, out in Phoenix, watching Cam up close and personal last week, man. That had to be a good look for him, G.
Man, it was amazing. The crowd was amazing. Seeing him went out on the field and, you know, seeing him run out on the field the first time, you could hear his people just started going crazy. Oh, he's on the field. He's on the field.
Yeah, I bet that was kind of cool. That was really cool. Yeah. Hey, we want to get you on real quickly just to talk about. So I didn't realize, and DC was mentioned earlier that, you know, when the authorities stopped Coach K's grandson, that Beccaro was he in the front? He was in the back seat.
He's in the back seat.
Back seat.
Yeah, he was in the back seat.
So help us understand legally, how does that flow with the aiding and abetting and that kind of thing?
Well, the aiding and abetting, the DWI, is basically they charged him for allowing Savarino to drive his vehicle, you know, with the understanding that he was probably intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
So, or that he had been consuming alcohol. So, I mean, it's kind of I think that's kind of a weak charge that may end up going away. The real issue is, the real issue is Mr. Savarino,
mm-hmm.
who's actually driving under the influence of alcohol. And I think you can sort of gauge the seriousness of how this is being handled with what happened last night. Banchero played and Savarino did not.
Mm-hmm.
So Savarino's the one that's facing the really serious issues versus Banchero.
Here's my question. Give me talk to Greg R. Williams, GRW at law. So Savarino was underage too, and would whoever, how he ever consumed the alcohol or where we got it from, could they be a party of this as well, or how does that work?
Well, you know, I actually hadn't even thought about that. There's several layers to this mm-hmm. situation that, depending on where they were coming from, if they were coming from an establishment,
mm-hmm.
then there could be some consequences for serving underage
mm-hmm.
Underage children,
mm-hmm.
which could lead to some civil and potentially criminal penalties for that entity. If they were at a house party, that could be some ability for, you know, for those individuals as well. But who knows? I mean, you know, they could have had a fake ID. So we don't know, or I don't know enough information about the background to know, you know, what all the particulars are. But there could be some further issues. And I'm pretty sure that if there was an establishment that served these kids alcohol,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's going to be at least some stiff public backlash for them to have to deal with.
Right. Exactly.
Well, we're talking with Gregory R. Williams from GRW Law. And, you know, Greg, one of the things I was just thinking about when you talked about the charge for Pablo, which he's in the backseat. He's not driving. I'm not sure if they said he was actually intoxicated. I don't know. But he was in the backseat. He wasn't driving. And then they just charged him with aiding and abetting. It just seems like a charge where, because you already stopped the person that was actually driving. It just seems like it seemed like you're being a bully.
Yeah, just doing something.
Quite honest. It just seemed like a bully charge. Like, I'm not sure why would you do that? I'm not sure what purpose that serves for charging a person in the backseat.
Maybe he's a Carolina fan.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean? It just seems like you've been a bully. That's just because these are the type of things that I think about, like some law enforcement situations where it just seems like you're just being a bully and you're just going too far.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I would agree. You know, it's probably at some point, or maybe at some point, this officer realized who these individuals were, and that may have played a role in that process. But, you know, I agree. It seems like an overreach. You know, it could have been a scenario where, and again, I have no idea if this is actually what happened, but one guy could have been the alleged designated driver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe he drank out of Banchero. You know, so there could be a situation like that where, okay, you're the designated driver.
but we're not together the whole night. And then maybe you have a couple of drinks and I don't know. And then I, you know, let you drive my vehicle. So,
you know, that's true. Yeah.
So that could have happened. Like I said, there's a lot of things that could have happened. And there's a lot of possible defenses that Banchero could assert in this situation and probably, you know, kind of walk away from this, assuming that he didn't, you know, start talking when the police showed up and confessed to, yeah, we both had a couple of drinks, et cetera, et cetera. And again, I don't know the facts of the traffic stop, so you know, some of that could have potentially led to the charge as well.
Yeah, well, hopefully they didn't say anything, you know, anything smart, which made the officer decide, oh, everybody's getting a ticket.
Right, right. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, if you watch First 48, you see that a lot of times, you know, people that are placed in the presence of law enforcement, they start talking when they should be quiet. They should exercise their right to remain silent. You know, so anything you say can and will be used against you. So who knows, you know. But that's a lesson that if anyone is stopped by law enforcement, you know, you provide the information that you absolutely have to provide, your license and registration, and don't volunteer any information. Severino did, he blew a .08, which is the legal limit for intoxication in the state of North Carolina. That means his license was revoked for 30 days, and he'll have to go to court at some point. And he potentially faces jail time, which would be a suspended sentence, community service, and alcohol assessment. And that would pretty much be it.
So
now, you also have the – okay.
Go ahead.
He does have – now, he was stopped. It appears he was stopped for failing to yield the right-of-way. I think that's what I read. So you can always attack a DWI based on probable cause for the actual stop. You can go all the way back to the actual stop. You know, why did the officer stop the person in the first place? You know, it's not like in most cases, the officer doesn't see you driving down the road, you know, drinking a beer or drinking a glass of wine. They stop you because they observe some type of erratic driving. Either you're weaving in and out of traffic, or you're driving too slow, or you're driving too fast, you know, something along those lines.
Right.
And then once they stop you, they come to the window and then they, you know, gain some other impression that leads them to think you may be intoxicated. And it could be alcohol in your breath. It could be glazed over eyes, slurred speech, you know, things of that nature. So you can always go back and attack the actual stop itself. You know, so once they obtain the camera, video from the stop, you know, the officer said he failed to yield the right of way. You know, his attorney could argue, well, maybe he didn't actually fail to yield the right of way. And if they can go back that far, you know, then they could potentially defeat the entire DWI charge. Wow. Now, that would help him criminally and help his driving record.
Right.
I don't think anything was going to save him from causing this situation during Coach K's last year. So Thanksgiving may not be very, very welcoming for him, but, you know.
But you know, let's be honest. You know, preachers' kids and
That's always case.
Grandparents.
I'm sorry, preachers' kids. We know how you get down.
Teachers' kids. You know.
Hey, I was a teacher kid. What do you mean?
My point exactly. We just went through this yesterday. How many times you got in trouble?
A lot.
Exactly. You know, right. and every grandparent probably, you know, with grown grandchildren probably. You know, slipped on this ice.
That's probably true. You're right about that.
It's a sad situation when you know, kids are involved in things like this. So, you know, loyalties aside, I wish these young men the best.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, same here. Yeah, I want to see anything.
I will say this. I know we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
I will say this. I understand the charge. I get all of that, aiding and abetting. How many people get aiding and abetting that don't have the Reese's or Pablo? And now they're stuck in some ridiculous system.
Yeah, that's true.
This is stupid.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, our system is full of people that were charged with something that didn't have the resources to fight it. You know, and a lot of instances are offered jail time when the prosecution knows they didn't commit a crime.
See.
But, you know, they may not be able to fight it.
Yeah, so, they may. Yeah. Let me get off this topic because I'm start cussing.
So I wanted to use, I mean, as bad as I feel for those young men that are about to be billionaires over at Duke, I just wanted to use this to highlight the situation that really goes on for people that don't have opportunity to fight themselves.
Great point. Hey, GRW, always, man, keep it in the middle of the fairway, brother. We appreciate this all. Thank you for jumping on with us, man.
And I'm sorry about what's about to happen Sunday.
I'm going to say one thing.
What?
Keep.
All right, boy.
Pounding.
Keep pounding. All right, brother. Take care, man. We'll see you.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
I just love hump day for so many reasons. Brother White.
Yeah.
Little go-go.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
DC, no go-go.
Yep.
So does Dennis. DC and Dennis, they both know go-go.
Yep.
We know go-go.
Yes.
Man. And it's the only day that we got to get to ride.
Oh, sorry. You're going to ride a little later on.
I'm like, what? We're going to do a little camel walk later on.
It's cloud in the east.
Yeah. Well, not this week.
Okay, not this week. Okay.
Not this week. All not right. this week.
People look outside like,
everybody,
what?
Everybody made it through this week.
Everybody made it through this week.
Everybody made it through this week.
Okay. I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's
I just go with K-Mac when
he
said
that. But he with me, so he good. Don't you worry. Just tell him Potentate got it.
Potentate.
He got it. Man, we gonna have ourselves a good time today, as we always do. Welcome back to the Sports Shop. The Sports Shop, Reese and K-Mac. Man, it is a great day to have this conversation with the one and only Lauren Brownlow. What up, LB?
LB.
LB's hey, in the building. What's going on?
What's going on, Brownlow?
Oh, I'm living the dream, like y'all.
Brownlow, I quite often, you know, Reese and I, we get involved in a number of initiatives and, funding.
I'm not sure where this is going, but.
You know, startups and all types of things. So we have a new initiative that, you know, that I'm trying to kick off, and I just want to see if I can garner your support. I'm trying to figure out how we recruit more talent to NC State.
That's so stupid.
Seriously. I want people to think about NC State like, you know, like they said, they came up with a slogan, Virginians for Lovers.
Yes.
Right? And it's so catchy.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people thought it was like for lovers, like, well, it was really for lovers.
Yes, I got
you.
Know
what I mean? So, you see what I'm saying? It took a lot of time for people to figure it out. But
right.
Now, but it's catchy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it not? Yeah. I always thought it was.
But what? I'm serious. I'm just going along with it. I'm back in my mind like, what the hell is K-Man talking about?
What kind of lover are they talking about?
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, that's what any kind you are.
Okay, there it is.
That's the beauty of it. That's right. That's the beauty of it. That's what they wanted. So we just try. So I've been working on that. So just get us some thought. We don't have to, but just get us some thought. We're working on that. You know, that's an initiative. And Reese doesn't really want to participate, but I'm gonna make him.
No, I'm not gonna participate in that.
I'm gonna make him participate. So we just try to give players a reason to want to come play basketball at NC State.
Wow, that's interesting.
I mean, they really just need to figure out some way to put the last couple years anyway. They need to figure out some way to put like a voodoo spell over this team to make sure it doesn't get injuries.
Yeah,
key spots. That'd be helpful. That'd be good. I mean, they weren't going to be – look, they weren't going to be amazing this year probably, but they had some upside. They had some promise. They have some freshmen I know they really like. Darian Sebron, I think we saw him – we've seen him take some steps forward this year for sure. Jericho Helms really emerged last year. And with Manny Bates holding down the middle, I think we all thought, it wasn't going to – we thought maybe, if everything goes right, maybe they have a chance to get, an at-large if everything goes well. But it would be hard.
Yeah.
And without Manny,
it's
gonna be rough. But Sebron really has stepped up. He's played really well. Jericho Helms will hopefully get right. Like it's not gonna be the same kind of year as it is in Durham and Chapel Hill, but it wasn't gonna be anyway. Can you imagine that's 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Their best player.
Yeah.
Is out for the year.
Yeah.
Like that's brutal. Yeah, and this time it happened in game one. No. It's just not, you can't make this stuff
maybe
up.
Maybe that's the issue.
Well, yeah, that's true.
It doesn't help.
But you mentioned that they probably were going to have the type of season that the other two teams down the road.
Right.
But let's talk about one in particular, though. You know what kind of blue I bleed. But I was last night was interesting. I'm talking Carolina College of Charleston. You may agree or disagree with me, but I think last year they lose that game.
I tend to agree with that. Okay. Yeah, I had that thought. Now, I will say this. They did have their moments last year where they had games like that and they were able to kind of pull it out. But what was impressive to me, actually, was the fact that the last 5 minutes or so, they really played well. Yeah. They didn't turn it over a bunch. They didn't make silly mistakes. You know, they missed a few free throws, but not too many.
Right.
Last year, it felt like what could go wrong was going down the stretch. Like, what, you know, they'd make it interesting one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know, even if they won, you know, they'd make you sweat it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But they you know, they didn't really leave a lot to suspense in that game. They just kind of took care of business. And Armando Bacot is just, dude, I think I tweeted at one point, I was like, he's looking like Ty Lawson the way he's driving the basket.
Like, wow.
I mean, I didn't know he had that kind of, like, you know,
he has some handles. He has some handles. I was like, crossing people up and looks like, I mean, so thus far, it was a great decision for him. Say, hey, I want to come back to Carolina and see kind of improve my stock here. But
And Hubert talked about that last night. Hubert Davis, that, you know, Armando was like, I want to play in the league. And he's like, I think you can, but you got to, you know, improve your handle and you know, extend your range a little bit. And it looks like he's working certainly on the handle part for sure. And I know he's worked on his shot a lot too. So, but it's, I would be thrilled, I don't know about y'all, to see him go into like dominate mode this year, because he's just the best quote. You know, it's great to have a great, like, if you're going to be the best player on your team, it's also good if you're the best quote. I'm here for that too.
We all here for that.
Yeah, exactly. That's absolutely true. We're talking with Lauren Brownlow, ACC insider for WRLSportsFan.com, and Brownlow joins us each and every Wednesday, and the day is no different. Lauren, let's go across on the other side over here, talking about the Duke University Blue Devils basketball team. Had a little bump in the road. The other night, a little bump in the road. The other night,
maybe not the pun.
You want to use that pun? I mean, because a road was involved, but you want to use that pun?
Yeah.
You know.
Thankfully, there were. Yeah.
Right.
Maybe there was a bump in the road. We wouldn't be in this problem.
That's probably true. Yeah.
Because he didn't stop.
Right.
Well, according to some people, he didn't stop. But seeing it, that aside, the talent on the court. They played a couple of times so far, and they look okay. They look decent, but I don't know what to make of this team just yet. I don't know. Carolina had a little test last night. I'm not sure this team has had a little test, unless the Campbell game the other day was a little test.
No, it did not really.
That was a little test. I don't think any of us thought it would be a little test,
right.
But there it was. I was going to say, like, for me, with both of these teams, to be honest, but especially, you know, with Duke and with teams that are a little younger and need some time, like, I'm just – and that's what's so not annoying about college basketball this time of year, but it can be exhausting, because it's like we want to make all of these sweeping, you know – judgments about teams based on how they play right now, and I just feel like we've learned not to do that by now, but we just haven't. But I think it's going to take time for this team to kind of come together. It's one thing to come out against Kentucky and play the way they did, you know, it's another thing to be at home against a team like Campbell, you know what I mean? And so those are two different types of things to get up for and get your attention ready for and really focus in on. So we know they're talented, and that's not in question. And so I think against Kentucky, they certainly showed me a lot in terms of what they're capable of. I'm not going to, you know, just like with Carolina, with Brown the other night or whatever, even last night, I'm not going to overreact too much to how they're playing right now. You might like make a note of it and go, you know, if they're still a bad defensive team in Carolina's case later, or if Duke's still going through some scoring droughts or whatever later, it's one thing. You can look back and go, okay, yeah, this started back in November. But, you know, I mean, right now, I just kind of feel like, half the time these guys are coming out playing against whoever it is. And, you know, the coach is probably begging them. No. You cannot just show up against this team and win. Like, you have to play. And so, I'm not going to make a lot of judgments on them just yet until we start seeing them play, you know, better teams in the non-con and then obviously conference play.
Absolutely. We're talking to Lauren Brownlow, ACC insider of WRLSportsFan.com, Robert LB, each and every hump day, same place, same time. This is maybe a little hyperbole, what I'm geared to say, but when Cam came in the game the other day, had to be one of the greatest moments as a Panther fan in the history of Panther football. Is that hyperbole? Is that over the top? Is that crazy?
I mean, if it's hyperbole, it's not by a lot, at least not for me.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
at least score. In terms of right. how it made me feel.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
I'm not saying its importance or whatever, but in terms of the feeling involved, I have not felt that way watching a Panthers football game. And I wrote about this, for Happy Panthers fan this week. I have not felt that way watching a Panthers game since. Wow. I think I went all the way back to the Seattle game in the playoffs in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember where they got out, they were up, 31-10 or 31-7 and a half or whatever it was.
Yep.
And I was just, it's like so many things are happening that are good and you were just so nervous about how everything was going to go, you know, and you're just like, how is this all happening? There's no way this keeps up. And in that game, it didn't. You know, but it's just like this, like, oh my God, everything is perfect. Like, that's just kind of how it felt. And you're just so happy, you know, because it's something that you were kind of nervous about. How's this going to go? I mean, I felt that way about Cam, you know, it's like, what are they going to put him in to do? This is going to be a mess. I didn't trust the coaching staff, frankly. You know,
I still don't. Shocking.
And I'm sitting there like, oh my God. Then when they put him in at the goal line, I was like, oh my God, he's coming in. Oh my God. I'm like freaking out. And then he scores and I'm just like, oh. And then when he scored again, and when he yelled, I'm bad. I mean, just y'all. Let me tell you.
When he scored a second time, I saw like 10 or 12 grown men in the cigar shop jump up and down like we were at the game. Oh. It was crazy. I mean,
I was like, am I the only one that was crying? Okay, cool. Fine. Whatever. I wasn't crying.
but it was that moment. I thought about it. I said, maybe I'm kind of over the top, but I think it was close. To one of those special moments that you always will remember, I think.
I will never forget it. I really won't. And what I wrote about for as Happy Panthers fan is like, look, I don't know how this is all going to go. Right. I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know how it's going to end. It could end terribly. But like I quoted Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca, you know, we'll always have Paris. Like, well, for me, two of the things that stick out most in my mind in terms of Cam Newton's tenure, in Carolina, will certainly be that game.
Right.
And will also be his first game in Arizona. That was his very first game as a Panther. And he tore it up. I don't know if y'all remember that.
I do,
because it was just like I had never felt that way watching a Panthers quarterback play. You know, it was like, whoa, we have a quarterback. This is wild. You know, we hadn't had one to that point. And that's the thing. He brought so much excitement and energy and joy. And like, you just see playing the game. He's just so infectious.
Yes.
I mean, he loves it so much.
Yeah,
and the energy of this team completely shifted when he joined it, you know, and it's fun again. It's fun for me. It's fun for everybody. And it's just like, wow, I can't believe we went this long without him and I missed him. And it's just so great to have him back because it had been, you know, let's be real, it had been a bit of a slog.
Yeah, it was terrible, to be fair.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
We're talking with Lauren Brownlow, the same as we do each and every week. And last thing for me, Brownlow, before we let you get out of here, we talked about it briefly. Did this single-handedly save Matt Rhule's job?
In tenure in Carolina. I don't know if y'all saw as the game ended, they're walking off the field and Matt Rhule's like, you know, saying something in Cam's ear. And I'm like, he better be saying thank you for saving my job. He better be.
Yeah.
Because that's what just happened, man.
Yep.
You know, but I will give credit to Matt and his staff in that so far, it's early, obviously, but so far I feel like they have leaned into this and embraced it and they're not fighting it. And remember, Matt has made some interesting comments that seem to allude to Cam in the past, right? About like, want football culture here. Football matters first and foremost.
That's right.
But they really seem to be leaning into it. I mean, even the penalty talk about his penalty, like he was just kind of like, I think he clearly understood why Cam got the penalty. Like, it's whatever, you know, maybe just don't do it again. And then Cam said, say less, which I loved. I would say say less to Matt Rhule a lot of times. It's just like, I think you saw Joe Brady, he tweeted out 1-0 in the Cam font. Like, they're leaning into it right now.
And
I think that's great. They could be reluctant about it. They could have been fighting it. They could be making snarky comments. So far, they are not. And I think that's good. And that's a credit that's a credit to them. And they better lean into it, man, because I think they understand what Cam's bringing to the table too. I mean, David Tepper, if for no other reason, he wasn't going to let guys stick around if they were not generating excitement about this football team. And as soon as they signed Cam, the price of the Washington football team tickets, doubled in a hot minute.
And trust me, that was a big part of it too. We talked about it here on the show. Cam, the Cam factor. I mean,
you can't lose and not make money.
You can't lose and lose money at the gate too. No, so everybody's happy right now. We'll see where it goes. Yeah,
everybody has feelings about Cam, right? He's the type of guy that when he walks in a room, he gives somebody feelings.
Yep.
You don't. He is not a neutral presence in any room, right? That's the thing. He's just so magnetic and charismatic. Mm-hmm. He's gonna walk in a room and people are either gonna roll their eyes and go, "Who the heck's this guy think he is?"
Yep.
Or they're gonna be like, "Oh my God, yep. This is the most charismatic dude I've ever seen."
And that's 100% correct. Everything you just said, that's totally Cam Newton right there.
Man.
Yeah.
I haven't been around many people that are as charismatic as him, that's for sure.
I finally know how I feel.
Did you hear what Cam just said?
I finally know what?
You finally know how what? It feels.
I mean, that's such an accurate description.
Oh,
who in the hell do you think he is?
I am, baby. We appreciate you.
Okay, and you know the demo of that group.
Exactly.
I certainly do.
There you go.
That's Ford F-150 toy right
there. Hey. I was thinking about getting one of those new electric ones.
Bye.
Bye, Brian.
I'll be with you.
Bye.
Well, you know they mad.
Woo. Hot.
They going to make an electric.
Hottest fist group.
F-150. Electric truck.
They're hot.
Just God, they ain't going to know what to do. What they going to do out there?
Do they have those electric?
What are you plugging up at?
Yeah, out there at Fuquay. I mean, you got to drive the rod to get straight.
Hey, Fuquay.
Out in Fuquay or in Verena?
Verena. That's the other side.
That's the other side of
Johns County.
You right there on the edge. Right
JC,
there.
Baby.
If you say you from Verena, that must be like one family. Like
back in the day or something.
You know how like one family they, you know. Yeah. Like Johnson County must have been just a Johnson.
Yeah, then they broke up to Fuquay and Verena. Okay, got it.
I just said, then they combined and got married.
Like, I was like Andy Griffin stuff here, man. Ernest T. Bass. It's me as Ernest T.
Look how you look.
Oh, okay.
He's so confused.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes Store.